A very good morning to you all and welcome to day 29 of our 40 days Lenten reflections and prayers. Our text for reflection is Hebrews 8, 1 to 13. Now the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. When the Jews rejected Christ, he offered salvation to the Gentiles as well. Today, you and I can enjoy the benefits of the new covenant of grace through faith in Christ. And we can maintain righteousness through confession of sin to God Almighty. That is why the writer to the Hebrews writes that when Christ reigns as king on this earth, Israel will accept God's new covenant of grace, and they will enjoy the promises recorded by Jeremiah the prophet. God will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and iniquities will be remembered no more. My dear friend, when God forgives our sins, does he actually forget them completely? But God knows everything. How then can God forget our sins if he knows everything? God does not forget our sins, but he chooses not to hold them against us. And if God chooses not to hold our sins against us, what lesson can we learn concerning our dealings with fellow people in the context of forgiveness? The lesson is simple, that we are to forgive others and determine not to hold what they have done to us against them. Forgiving is choosing not to hold the sin against the person who wronged you. We must treat them as though they never did it. God's old covenant with Israel was good but inadequate. Christ's new covenant of grace is adequate in every way. It is totally by grace through faith in Christ that we gain eternal life and not by works. God's new covenant permanently cleanses us from sin. It provides us with continual access to forgiveness through confession to God. It brings us into God's family. It gives us God's Holy Spirit, who will comfort, guide, convict, and teach us. It promises us eternal life. But we've got to study the Word of God and improve our knowledge of His forgiving grace. An attorney, after meditating on several scriptures, decided to cancel the debts of all his clients that had owed him money for more than 6 months. He drafted a letter explaining his decision and its biblical basis and sent 17 debt canceling letters through certified mail. One by one, the letters were returned by the postal service, unsigned and undelivered. Perhaps a couple people had moved away, though not likely. 16 of the 17 letters came back to him because the clients refused to sign and open the envelopes, fearing that this attorney was suing them for their debts. It's a profound story. We owe a debt for our sin, and God is willing to cancel it. But too many people will not even open the letter that explains how. Would you hear again, dear friend, those words of assurance from God? For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. Lord God Almighty, Shaper and Ruler of all creatures, we pray for your great mercy that you guide us towards you, for we cannot find our way. We thank you because you've promised to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all forms of unrighteousness. Guide us to your will, to the need of our soul, for we cannot do it ourselves, and make our mind steadfast in your will and aware of our soul's need. Strengthen us against the temptations of the devil, and remove from us all lust and every unrighteousness, and shield us against our foes, seen and unseen. Teach us to do your will, that we may inwardly love you before all things with a pure mind. For you are our Maker and our Redeemer, our help, our comfort, our trust, our hope. Praise and glory be to you now, forever and ever. Amen.